Driving plays a big part in driving the local economy. It helps us all get where we're going and creates good jobs close to home. At Cenovus Energy, our refineries in Toledo and Lima are a reliable domestic source of gasoline, diesel, and jet fuel. Plus, more than 2,300 employees and contractors work for us here in Ohio. See how we're helping local communities move forward at Cenovus.com.
Coming up on this week's episode of Barb Knows Best, the podcast.
When we start doubting ourselves, that is a huge red flag for me. When I start doubting myself, when I start thinking, maybe they are right. I'm not such a good person. How could I be doing this after 40 years of practice? After all, I am Peaceful Barb.
Hello, everyone. Hi, friends. Welcome back to Barb Knows Best, the podcast. It's me, Michelle, and I am sitting here with my mom, Barb, and I'm personally super excited to be back on the mic, back at the table to chat with you, Mom, and to continue last week's conversation that we dove into pretty intensely. Hi, Mom.
Hi, Michelle. We sure did. That had me thinking a lot this whole week. It's pretty incredible.
Yeah. So if you haven't listened to last week's episode yet, we had intended to, well, I guess maybe pause and go back, but we had intended to talk about some of the lessons that we had learned so far in this first half of 2024, since we're at about the halfway point, give or take. And I kicked us off with feeling, kind of, I mean, long story short, feeling like I can't trust myself and trust my discernment skills and my judgment, not in a bad way of judgment, but judgment as far as noticing when situations or people or circumstances might be coming from a bad intention or a bad place. And therefore leading me to feel like I'm extremely gullible and like too overly believing of people instead of maybe having my own filter, which led to a very fascinating conversation. And I guess maybe like a personal therapy session for me, from you, even though obviously you're not my therapist. But we had promised at the end of last week's show to continue that conversation with closing out our thoughts, as well as, I know, Mom, you have some tips and ideas and reframes for what I was saying to you, which I'm excited to hear about since you've been thinking about it for a whole week. So that's what's on the docket for today.
And I'm so excited too, because I have so much to say. And maybe we also, if we have time at the end, we can go over a couple of other things that are some of the teachings or the lessons that we've learned in the past 6 months. But I just want to back up for a second. You did keep us on track. You brought up a major thing that you have learned, that you've discovered, that you have insight to into yourself, awareness of. And so that's why we spent the whole session, because it's such a powerful insight and awareness that you had about yourself. And what I'd like to say, and how I would love to kick off this episode, is you can trust yourself. You do love yourself. You do have incredible discernment skills. When episodes happen in life, which I believe is what has happened for you in recent months, when episodes happen, it can trigger us. It can trigger us into a place like, oh my gosh, how did that happen to me again? How did I fall prey to this particular behavior from someone else again? Then we can go down the rabbit hole of, I can't trust myself. I'm gullible. I don't have any discernment skills. So I really want to have you take that out of your conversation, out of your habit mind that we all go to. When we're in a real serious situation where we feel like we have fallen back into a quote trap, or fallen back into a mindset that we thought we had maybe overcome, or we thought that we knew better, or whatever it is we say to ourselves, often we can go to this place of, oh my gosh, here I am again. I'm in this place, but I've got a new name for it. I'm gullible. And so I just want to reframe that a little bit, that I believe what happened in our conversation last week and what's been happening and possibly unfolding for you is that it's a tremendous insight, a tremendous, oh my gosh, aha, I've never used that word gullible with myself before. I've never heard that used by you in all the years that I've known you. So it's really powerful for me to hear you use that word. And I think it's like peeling the layers back of the onion that we talk about from the inside out. You're getting deeper into yourself and your responses to things. And you know, when we have major relationship things happen, this is a big deal. So to have this insight and awareness, I love.
Yeah. So it is a period of me, for me, of reflection and introspection and cultivating awareness for what's going on for me and the dynamics of my life. And we've been talking about for the past, I mean, I guess since the beginning of the show, of some of the changes that we've been going through personally within our family, but also, I mean, we've had work, friends, community, global, like there's so many layers of conflict and change and uncertainty, which I think has led me to this place of feeling like I'm gullible. And I want to add a piece, and I know you said to not keep reaffirming that, but I wanted to add a piece of why I think that. And I was kind of contemplating it as you were talking. I think what led me to feeling that way is I guess I tend to take what is presented to me at face value. And, you know, even we live in an internet era, and oftentimes like I'll believe what I see. Like a couple of weeks ago, there was a celebrity scandal that was happening, and I saw something on Twitter that was giving information about it that was like pretty salacious, and I saw it and I was like, oh my gosh. And I immediately sent it to my friends, and we were going back and forth because they were like, wow, this is crazy. I'm like, yeah, this is so crazy. And then like 12 hours later, they were like, Michelle, you sent us a spam. Like it wasn't real. And I had just believed it. And so I think I tend to take things when I see it at face value, and I'm what I'm realizing, and I'm not criticizing myself, but I think that what it means for me is I tend to cultivate the space that we talk about between something and a response, especially when it comes to words or actions. But I think I need to have that space when it comes to things that are presented to me, like this thing on the internet about a celebrity or even just a person. Like I need to take that space to say, okay, ask myself questions of, does this look real? Does this seem real? Does this sound like the truth? You know what I mean? So I think that's why I'm feeling gullible, because I just find that I'm like, I see it and I believe it. And I don't take that space to say, well, wait, is this true? And then the more insidious aspect of that dynamic is with people in my life who can play both sides of the coin of being harmful, but then flip it to being seemingly kind and compassionate, and not taking that space to try and break that down for myself, if that makes sense.
It makes perfect sense. And I just want to say, I'm thrilled that you've had this insight of the word gullible. I'm not saying don't ever call yourself these things. No, feel the feelings of it. And that's exactly what you're doing. And this is amazing. This is what we're meant to do in life. Life is hard. And we do fall into these things. I mean, there's so much happening around us all the time. So it's really a good thing when you say, wait a minute, I feel like I'm being gullible. What I'm trying to say is, don't name that for yourself, that that's who you are. That might be a behavior that you're expressing in this moment based on A, B, C, or D.
Right.
That's all I'm trying to say is, as humans, let's be careful what we're naming ourselves are. And let's maybe look at it as, wow, this has been my behavior. Let me take a look at this. Let me be the scientist in my own life experiment here and see what's happening. Because no one is more alert in my life than you are about scams on the internet. And so I think it's funny. And so I don't think that that's who you are. Sometimes we're at low moments in our lives and we can be more vulnerable. We can be more gullible. We can be more open to things and take things in sometimes that aren't necessarily true. And I think the beauty of life, we are all going to do that from time to time. That is never going to end, I don't believe. But the beauty of life is the awareness of it. And oh my gosh, look at, I've been gullible here lately. My discernment's not off. I just fell into a trap here because I'm overworked, or I'm tired the past few weeks, or I'm not getting enough sleep, or maybe I am on the internet too much, or maybe I am doing some more external things instead of trying to balance it a little bit more with more internal things. Those are all the questions that we need to ask ourselves. So it's really important to feel those, quote, gullible feelings and do a little research, like you're saying, like pause, like we're doing, like you've been doing. And there's no timeline for this. It doesn't mean it has to happen in the moment. It means that it's just at some point in your life, you say, wait a minute, this is what's happening for me. I need to look at this. I need to pay attention to this. I need to tease this apart a little bit and see what's going on with me.
Right. I think it's an interesting concept too, especially in this time of the world that we're living in, where there is so much influence to be had, particularly on the internet, and really drilling down into how do we decide and determine what we value as far as how we choose to live our lives. And I think that's where it's maybe been diluted for me, where it's like you're if you're on online, which I mean, most of us are at some time throughout our day, you're constantly being bombarded with opinions and thoughts. And even, I mean, this podcast is us giving our thoughts about living life in a certain way. And so I think when life is spent,
I just interrupt you, giving our thoughts on our own experiences. It's important.
I know, but I'm saying
it's important. There's an important distinction. And I think that's where, I'm not trying. That's where I look at things when I'm listening to other people's opinions and other people's thoughts. It can be thoughts, but it can also be experiences that are being shared. And I think it's really important for us to talk about discernment in anything that we're doing in life and anything that we're consuming in life and reading and eating and looking at, all of the things, that we have a baseline of what is it that I'm going to pay attention to and believe, and what is it do I want to dig a little bit deeper and get an understanding of what's being said to me. I just wanted to clarify that. These aren't just thoughts, which I know you know. I just wanted to make it, these are our lived life experiences.
Right. But everyone is doing that. And so I think when you're, a lot of people on the internet are showing up and talking about their lived experience and their ideas about life. And what the point of my whole thing was, it can really dilute your discernment muscle when you are constantly taking in other people's opinions and thoughts about how to live your best life. And it can go from, oh, I think that this is the best laundry detergent for X, Y, and Z to, oh, you know, this is how you should eat, or this is how you should work out, or this is how you should vote, or this is how you should raise your kids. Like, I think for me, it's just been where we're being constantly bombarded by other people's opinions and insights about life, and whether they're quote unquote experts or not in whatever they're talking about, it can jumble our own ability to determine what's true and what's not. I mean, we live in a world filled with, I don't want to say fake news, but unsubstantiated claims, especially on the internet. Like, I fell for it with the celebrity stuff, you know? And all I'm saying is it can be hard to block out the noise of what's happening on the internet, which is where we all spend so much of our time, and really drill into what it is that we think or we believe or what we want. And that's all I'm saying as far as what I believe to have led me possibly to this quote unquote gullible place.
I love it. I think
when you get around certain groups, I remember when I was back years ago in my yoga teacher training, you're around a certain kind of person with certain kind of beliefs. And I adopted those very easily without maybe necessarily some critical thinking about, well, wait, is this what they're saying true? Especially like about health and wellness. And I think I was in a desperate place of having my own health issues and latching on to whatever I thought could help me. But I think for me, what I'm noticing in this period of awareness about this whole dynamic, which we'll kind of bring back together in a minute, is when you're in a place, when you're seeking for answers or you're desperate for a solution or trying to get to the bottom of something, if you're not careful, you can believe anything. And that's what I've noticed with myself. And that takes you down some really interesting holes of misinformation. That was the word I was looking for before. Misinformation, and just a waste of time and energy.
So I agree. I agree with everything that you just said. And I two things I want to say. Yes. And I don't think anything that we ever do in life is a waste of time. Because look where we are right now.
And we just had an episode about that.
Yeah. And I think that the insights that we gain from all of these things are tremendous. Like, this is life. We don't know everything. And we don't think that we're ever going to know everything. I know that's what I believe. I don't know everything. And I'm going to constantly keep learning until the day I exit this planet in my body. So it's so important to understand that we don't know everything and we don't think that we're going to know everything. Those are two very, very, very key comments and statements being made. And so I love this conversation in that everything that you've been through, everything that we go through in life as humans is here to teach us, is here for us. We are here to learn. If there's anything that I believe with all of my heart, that we human beings are on this planet to learn. I truly, truly believe that. And I have learned so much, and I've learned a tremendous amount in the past couple of years from this divorce. And so I think oftentimes the most major things that are happening for us are the things that, as you said, take us out and have us believing things that really aren't even true for us and that don't work for us are our biggest teachers. Right. And they usually surround health, wellness, and relationships. I mean, they surround all of that, a relationship with food, a relationship with everything.
And like world ideology.
World ideology, all of it. And I think for me, coming back to last week's episode, as we put a little bit of a conclusion to it this week, but also share some tools and tips or ideas that I have been using and that you have been using and some experiences that have helped us tremendously. And the biggest thing is always that awareness. That I love this conversation so much. I love all of our conversations because they all drill down into awareness. We can never change anything. We can never know anything. We can never learn anything without awareness, without the ability to be vulnerable with ourselves. And the fact that you're being vulnerable with the world right now is so amazing. To be vulnerable with ourselves is the first key. Wow, this is how I'm feeling. No shame, no judgment, no comparisons, no trying to fix it right away. Wait a minute, I'm not supposed to feel this way. I've been practicing all these tools, self-help, meditation, mindfulness, none of that. Just actually being with the feelings that you've been having of, wait, my discernment's off. Wait, I'm feeling gullible. Wait, I'm feeling like, whoa, what is happening with me right now? Without the shame, without the judgment, without the comparing, without the feeling that you have to fix it right away and get out of it right away, lead you to where you are today, to this really beautiful experiment of what am I here to learn from this whole thing so that I don't add to more suffering in my life or so that I don't add to more pain so that I can learn this now a little bit deeper so the next time it comes around, if it should happen to come around, which usually all these things come around again, I'll be more aware or I'll be like, oh, wait a minute. I got to take a pause here. I don't think that what's happening here is true for me. I've been through something similar like this. Now what choices can I make? Or wait, let me first just sit with how I'm feeling. And I believe that that's the first, if you want to call it the first step, or for me, it's been the first key, is allowing myself to sit with how I'm feeling. We do not like to sit in pain. We do not like to sit in betrayal. We do not like to sit in confrontation.
Confusion.
We do not like to sit in confusion. We do not like to sit in terms of thinking that there's going to be maybe massive changes that happen. We do not like to sit in any of those feelings. We do not like to sit in anger. We do not like to sit in rage or any of those things. We just don't like to sit in our feelings if they're not a positive feel-good situation. So the first thing we have to learn is to be okay within this moment, when you start to recognize, start to become aware, wow, I'm feeling this. I'm feeling gullible. And what is that feeling like in my body? And where am I feeling it in my body? And without, I have to say it again, without shame, without judgment, without comparisons, well, no one else feels this way. How could I be feeling this way? I've been through this before. With none of that, just to actually give yourself permission and the grace to sit and feel what you're feeling. And just taking that pause, taking that moment of quiet. Because if you sit with the feeling will pass. And then what has happened when the feeling passes, what keeps me stuck is not feeling the feelings. I abort the idea of feeling the feelings and then I just keep moving on. Oh, it'll be okay. It'll be okay. I'm fine. I'm good. And then it comes up back again. And then it comes back again. And then it comes back again. And then when I finally realize, well, I'm really suffering right now. I'm feeling a lot of pain. I'm really sad. I'm really overwhelmed or whatever the feeling is. It almost is like a refreshing wash coming over me and my body. Like, oh, finally. I almost feel like it's my body saying, finally, Barb, you're acknowledging what is happening to you. How are you feeling? You're actually giving me attention. And I've been wanting this attention for so long. Let's take care of you. Let's sort this out from the inside out. And so that's the first key or the first insight or the first way that I believe we start to move through the feelings of gullibility or, you know, something's not quite right. The pain and the suffering of something that might not be quite right in any relationship or in any experience that is happening for us in the moment.
I love that. And I'm also wondering if you're feeling gullible, which I think that for me, the feeling underneath that is confused, like kind of like I'll fall for anything because I don't know what is true for me. And so if that's something that's up for anybody else, it seems to me that the antidote to that is kind of recentering in with yourself and reconnecting with those questions that we talk about so often. Like, especially at the beginning of the show of like, who are you? What do you want? What matters most to you? And like, what values do you hold about life? Because I think that's critical information in discerning and weeding out what is and isn't for you when there's so much being presented at you. And especially this comes in play for relationships and kind of going back to what we were talking about last week with people. And me struggling with feeling like, regardless of actions of people, I can come back quickly and keep people in my sphere for maybe longer than healthy because I'm too quick to believe the words rather than the actions. And I think for me, if I take what I just said about checking in with myself of, you know, who am I and what do I want? I want people in my life that don't confuse me or make me feel like I'm experiencing whiplash where it's high highs, low lows, or you never know what you're going to get with someone or feeling like something that they've said or they've done comes out of left field as a tactic to confuse you or gaslighting or manipulation. Those are dynamics that I don't desire. And so if I place those priorities and values first, then I can start to wrap my mind around, okay, well, I'm experiencing that in this situation with this friend or this situation with this family member. What do I need to do to rectify this for myself? But it's also a very difficult, complex mental game to play with yourself. But for me, that's kind of walking it back. I think that's how I can get there as to a solution of setting a boundary or, you know, cutting off a relationship before it's, you know, 18 times of, you know, giving them a pass, if that makes sense.
It does. And I think it's too, Michelle, that like, this is life and we're not, it's almost, you know, like there's that book I think I referenced a while ago, The Game of Life or something like that. It's a very well-known, been around forever. Chauvel, I think, was the
author. We'll link it. I think you've talked about it in other episodes.
Anyway, this is life. I mean, this is life. And I've given up. I remember in my earlier days, I really thought I was going to master this. I really thought, I went into treatment for bulimia 40 years ago, and I'm going to do this, and I'm going to learn this practice, and I'm going to meditate, and I'm going to be mindful, and I'm going to breathe, and I'm going to do all of the things that a lot of the teachers have taught me that have changed my life. And I actually had this thought in my head years ago that then I'll be good. You know, then I'll be able to handle the ups and downs of life. Then it won't be so hard. Then it won't be. None of that is true. The thing that is true is that we become more the master of our own life. Because why do we become the master of our own life? For me, is because every single moment that something drastic happens, but even when drastic things don't happen, when things are just, you know, status quo, we are learning who we are more and more and more. So to me, that is the game of life. How do I get to know who I am from the inside out? How do I get to know that? And that whole thing, I've really been focusing a lot this whole year. This is one of the greatest things that I've learned this year. Barbara, remember who you are, which remember your values. Remember what matters most to you. Remember who you are. Because when I think about your situation here and talking about the gullibility, and that what happens in all of that is we wouldn't ask for that to happen, but now we've got it. So it's good that it happened, because I feel like what I've heard from you and what I can also say that I've experienced in my own life, you are definitely, and you just said it a few minutes ago, you do not like chaos. You do not like confusion. You do not like confrontation. I don't know a lot of people that do. I mean, I used to thrive on that because I grew up in the most chaotic household ever as a child. So, but you have an aversion to that. So that's kind of the next tip or the next thought about the next practice or the next teaching about this whole thing is whenever you're starting to feel in a chaotic, whenever you're having that chaotic feeling in a situation, or whenever you're feeling like, I just don't want to deal with this. I don't want the confrontation of this. I don't want to give this person a pass for bad behavior, because this is bad behavior. Like when you're starting to feel conflicted and you're saying those things to yourself, well, this is chaotic. This is all those things. Taking a pause in that moment, taking a pause and say, wait a minute. These are my values. This is who I am. This is what's happening. This is not okay for me. And this is not easy. I mean, this is like PhD school times a million. Like we're going to get this. We're going to get it a little bit. Then we're going to get it a little bit. Then we're going to get it a little bit. And you just keep getting stronger and less doubtful of ourselves over time. Because what happens when we bypass the chaos, the confusion, the confrontation, don't want to deal with change, don't want to deal with ramifications of the person, I'll give them a pass this time. When we bypass all of those feelings that we're having in the moment, then we get deeper into, I'm not worthy, I'm the problem, maybe they're right, and we start doubting ourselves. So this is key number three or two or whatever. When we start doubting ourselves, that is a huge red flag for me. When I start doubting myself, when I start thinking, maybe they are right. I'm not such a good person. How could I be doing this after 40 years of practice? After all, I am Peaceful Barb. You know, that whole craziness that happens in our brains, you know, maybe it's so insidious, but it is so destructive. And it can take us a long time to come back out of that doubt hole. So I have been very mindful since this divorce and this year. And it's been the greatest thing that I've been practicing these 6 months. Whenever I start to doubt myself, I stop. Whenever I start to say, Barb, you don't know any better here. Or Barb, maybe you don't know what's happening here. Maybe I don't know what's happening here, but I pause and say, okay, now get a handle on what's happening here. How are you feeling? So whenever I start to doubt myself, it doesn't mean that I know everything. It means that I have to pause and figure out how am I feeling in this moment. Is it truly that I want to learn more because I don't actually know what's happening? Or is it that I'm doubting myself because I don't think I'm good enough? Or I don't think I'm worthy enough? Or I'm letting these people around me, or I'm letting a person in a relationship have a pass. because I'm just overwhelmed with the chaos or the confrontation of it all. It's just really important to understand what we're feeling in the moment so we can know what to do next. So that's why I love this. Remember who you are and the trigger of doubting yourself. So if you all listening, if you're thinking about really spending some time, what it feels like to doubt yourself, when do you fall into places where you doubt yourself? And how can you start to become more aware of when doubt starts to creep in? You know, and I say this with all humility. I remember in my early days of even meditation and practice, I used to say to myself in the very, very early days, this isn't working for me. It's working for everyone else, but not for me. Well, it is working for me. Just sit and give it some time. Just sort out what's happening. What are you feeling right now that you feel like it's not working? Because usually we're judging ourselves. Usually we're comparing ourselves. Usually we're trying to fix ourselves because something is wrong with us instead of feeling what's happening in this moment. Having that deep felt sense, wait, I'm in this unworthy mode right now. That's why it feels like it's not for me. Or that's why I feel like I'm not good enough. But when we get to a place of feeling worthy and trusting ourselves completely, we can say, wait, this isn't for me because this is bad behavior. This isn't for me because they're not for me.
Mm-hmm.
And I just think that this has been the greatest teaching. And the more that I learn this, which I probably will continue to learn this for the rest of my life, the more happy I become that the more grateful I become that I've actually learned it or that I've actually I've had a taste of what it feels like to come out the other side of knowing who I am. Remembering who I am. I would have to say it's probably the most powerful thing, certainly that is happening to me after coming out of this divorce, but also in life, just in general. Remembering who I am and loving myself and trusting myself.
I love that. And that's very helpful and powerful. You know when you discover a new binge-worthy show or a song that you bump on repeat and you just have to share it with your friends so that they can experience just how awesome it is too? That's kind of what it feels like when you discover that Mint Mobile offers premium wireless for just $15 a month when you purchase a 3-month plan. It's such an awesome deal that there's no way I can keep it to myself because friends don't let friends overpay for wireless. So say bye-bye to your overpriced wireless plan and switch to Mint Mobile. Mint Mobile is here to rescue you and your squad with premium wireless plans starting at just $15 a month. All plans come with high-speed data and unlimited talk and text delivered on the nation's largest 5G network. Use your own phone with any Mint Mobile plan and bring your phone number along with your existing contacts. Ditch overpriced wireless with Mint Mobile's deal and get 3 months of premium wireless service for just $15 a month. To get this new customer offer and your new 3-month premium wireless plan for just $15 a month, go to mintmobile.com/barbknowsbest. That's mintmobile.com/barbknowsbest. Cut your wireless bill to $15 a month at mintmobile.com/barbknowsbest. $45 upfront payment required, equivalent to $15 a month. New customers on the first 3-month plan only. Speed slower than 40 gigabytes on unlimited plan. Additional taxes, fees, and restrictions apply. See Mint Mobile for details.
This show is sponsored by BetterHelp. It's a busy time of year. Our schedules are packed. We have a lot on our plates, and it can feel like we are being spread way too thin. With all that going on, it can feel like there's just not enough time to fit therapy into our lives. But let this be the summer of your self-care. As we know, therapy, caring for yourself, and loving yourself from the inside out are all things that we talk about on the show so often. And as my mom and I have said, therapy has been a game changer for both of us, which is why I'm so excited to introduce everyone to BetterHelp. If you're starting of thinking therapy, give BetterHelp a try. It's entirely online and designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule. All you need to do is fill out a brief questionnaire to get matched with a licensed therapist, and you can switch therapists at any time for no additional charge. Never skip a therapy day with BetterHelp. Visit betterhelp.com/barbknowsbest today to get 10% off your first month. That's betterhelp.com/barbknowsbest.
If you ever feel like you're too busy to eat healthy, don't worry. I am right there with you, which is why I'm so excited to introduce you all to Sunbasket. Meal kits from Sunbasket are the perfect solution. No more meal planning, no more stressing about nutrition, and no more grocery shopping, which was a big plus for me. Every Sunbasket meal is designed by dietitians and chefs to be healthy, nourishing, and delicious, with none of the hassle. You can choose from a brand new selection of quick and easy recipes each week with options like Mediterranean, vegetarian, carb conscious, and even gluten-free, all featuring organic fresh produce, which is super important to us. There are truly options for everyone. Plus, you don't have to lock in one type of meal. Pick and choose what you're in the mood for each and every week. They even have a pre-made meal option as well that are just as tasty and ready in 5 minutes or less. Sunbasket takes care of all the hard parts of healthy eating and delivers right to your door. All you have to do is follow the easy step-by-step recipes, dig in, and enjoy the benefits of eating your best. And I'm so thrilled to share a special offer for our lovely listeners. Go to sunbasket.com/barbknowsbest today to save $120 across your first 4 deliveries. That's sunbasket.com/barbknowsbest. to save $120 across your first 4 deliveries, plus free shipping on your first order. And so it seems like maybe the red flag in a situation to hopefully catch yourself or catch a situation before it, you know, spirals into something more insidious is a situation or a person or a relationship making you feel confused and doubting yourself? Because I think the confusion, I think it's like, it starts with confusion, and maybe that's where I'm starting with like gullibility. Like, I don't know. I'm feeling confused. I'm feeling confused by this person's actions. They've said and done X, Y, and Z that's made me feel one way, but then they've also said and done this other side of the column that makes me feel the opposite. I don't know how to rectify these two opposite things. I don't know how to determine what this means for me as far as, do I want to be in this relationship? If it's like a friendship in my situation. So I'm confused. And sitting in that confusion for too long without necessarily letting yourself feel the feelings, but then move on, but then also not taking the actions that perhaps you know are helpful for you in these situations, like connecting with yourself and reminding yourself of who you are and what you want and what matters to you, and that you're worthy, and that what you know to be true, I think then erodes at your own belief or worldview of yourself, of being able to discern or falling for anything. And it's like nipping it in the bud in that first red flag of like confusion almost. Because then it goes down the line, and we were talking about this before we hit record, and I loved what you were saying. And I'm like, can we just record now? Because you're saying so many good things. So I hope that you'll repeat it all here. And what's been the hardest piece for me in this aha moment of how I've been approaching people and places and situations and being too gullible, for lack of a better word, in this context, is that I believe, or it has been my belief, that all people are good, that all people start off with good intentions and that come from a good place and don't wish harm. And if whether or not that's true, I can't speak to that. I mean, I think that's a hugely philosophical, deep question. But that's been my where I start off. And I think having traumatic events, things that are happening in the world, a lot of the trauma and tragedy of society, and then in my own personal life, it's caused me to question that and maybe walk that back. Is that really true? And then that has led to more confusion for me, because I'm like, okay, if this thing that I've believed for so long about people isn't true, how do I know who is quote unquote good or right for me, or not good or right for me? And so we also talked about last week, this idea of we're all just doing the best we can with what we've been given in life. And you and I have both used that in our own ways as a source of empathy and understanding for people, because we are, I do still believe this, that we're all given extremely, incredibly unique circumstances through which we live life. And so it's impossible for us to believe that we're all going to live life through the same lens, which makes life interesting, but also confusing. And so I'm curious if you could share what you shared with me before about how we can still believe that to be true, that we are just doing the best. Sorry. In last week's episode too, I said, I think I'd been using that mindset of we're all just doing the best we can with what we've been given as kind of a crutch or an excuse of giving people passes. Like, you know, someone in our family continuously doing harm or being traumatic. Well, he's just doing the best he can, so it's okay. And I think I've let that be a pass for people. And so I'm hoping that you can share how to reframe that to still maintain that as true, because it is true. But if you're like me and maybe using that as a devil's advocate for other people, it can help you too, because what you said helped me a lot, if that makes sense.
It makes perfect sense. And I'm glad that it helped you, because I'm glad that we're talking about this, because this was kind of going to be the biggest part of what I wanted to say today, because I do use this a lot, because it has saved my life, really. It has saved me from this idea that I can fix and change other people. I can only fix and change myself, and it's really saved me. So let's back up a little bit then. First of all, it's not people are doing the best they can and it's okay. Those never go together. I never say that they go together.
Okay, cool.
And second, it's people think they're doing the best they can. I believe that people wake up in the morning thinking that they're going to do the best that they can.
And that was an important reframe, that people think they are.
People think they are, people think they're doing the best they can, and that's okay. So this is so philosophical. I mean, it's so deep, but I truly want to take some time to explain it, because it has changed my life. It has been one of the key things in my life that has helped me to let go. I have lots of difficulty letting go in my life. It's getting a whole lot better. And it's also helped me to be able to wish people well from afar and walk away. It has truly helped me let go of not thinking that I have to have family members or close friends. I don't have to have certain people in my life if it does not work for me, but I also can wish them well and walk away. So here's the thing. I believe this is my belief, and this has been my experience, and this is what has helped me the most. Great. I believe that people wake up in the morning thinking that they're going to do the best they can. I don't know what their life is like. I don't know what their past life has been like. I don't know what their childhood has been like. I don't know what their heredity has been like. I don't know any of that. So I don't ever want to try to write a story anymore. And I don't want to feel vulnerable or feel gullible, to use that word, and sucked into, oh, poor thing, they had a bad childhood or they had a bad life, I should give them a pass. And those are kind of the ways that I used to be, similar to what you were just saying. No one gets a pass, but also no one needs to be in my life that doesn't work for me and that causes me trauma or that causes me despair. So I do believe that people wake up every morning thinking that they're going to do the best they can. And that can be the gamut of people out there that are horrendous, horrific people.
Right. That doesn't mean that the best they can is
okay.
Good.
Is good or in my eyes.
Or good for you.
Or good. And it's certainly not good for me. And also in my opinion and my own judgment, not good for the world. Mm-hmm. Or maybe not good for other people. So it runs that whole thing, but it doesn't give them a pass for what their behavior is. It doesn't give them a pass that I agree with it. It doesn't give them a pass for anything except for live your life. And I'm moving on, because I can't change those people. What I can do is assert my own values and my own behavior and be the change or be the best that I can possibly be, hoping that one day that changes it for all beings in that regard.
Mm-hmm.
I hope this makes sense. Am I making sense? So
no, I know it's very, deep and complex, but I think that small reframe of, I think I always thought people wake up and doing the best, don't wake up to do harm and think that they're doing the best, meant that they're doing the best that they can to my standards, which I know is a crazy thing to think, but I just never broke that down to a degree of, wait, of course that can't be true. But thinking that people are waking up doing their best or not necessarily intending harm or whatever, we can't get in other people's brains, but it's through their own lived experience and it might not live up to, or probably won't add up to what we believe to be true or right or good.
Yeah. You think about a full spectrum.
Which is huge.
You could be on opposite ends of the spectrum.
Of course.
And so here, I want to take just a minute then. Everyone just think for a moment of the person that you know. Doesn't even have to be someone you know personally. Just, it can be someone you know in the world that you see on the internet or that you see, you know, we see everything today. So, or someone personally that you know. Think of the person that you know right now in this moment that has the most egregious behavior, actions, words, attitudes that you can think of. Think of that person. And then think of the harm that it does to you thinking that this is not okay. I really don't like this. I'm really angry with this. I have to try to change them because this is not okay. It's so awful. And spending your life in this mode of, this is so awful. I have to try to change this. I can't accept this. I can't accept this behavior in this one, let's just say this one particular person or even a group of people, I guess you could. It's a no-win situation. You can't do it. And so you're giving your life over to trying to do something that is impossible to do. So the opposite of that is, wow, I don't like this. This is really pushing some buttons in me to who I am and what I believe in. I want to get involved in using my time and my talents and my treasures and all the things that I have in my life to try to make a difference and be that person that I want to be in this world and align with people that are in a same mindset that I am, that we can all together band together in trying to do good in whatever it is that I think I want to have done in the world. Mm-hmm. Do you see the difference? If you put all your energy toward this negativity and this thing that you cannot stand and you abhor, which they're probably doing things that are just so egregious. I'm not disagreeing with that at all, but don't waste your time there.
Right.
Don't give them a pass. Don't try to change them. Don't even waste your energy saying how egregious they are in that moment. Walk away. Even if it's the closest family, walk away. And for me, it's been helpful. My parents were not on that level, but it was a very, very tumultuous, traumatic. I spoke about this last week a little bit again, childhood. And so I'm saying all this is what has helped me the most. I had little inklings. I would hear little things from time to time that their childhoods were not so great. You know, we know this so much now that we, you know, we're talking so much and we have so much information out there. Their childhoods were not so great. And some of the things that I heard, but I never validated any of it because no one would ever talk about anything. But what helped me the most when I was in therapy and all of my practice and everything was, you know, they're probably doing the best they can. I think they love me the best that they could. Mm-hmm. And whether that's true or not, it's true for me.
Right.
And it helped me heal so much. And it helped me understand that I don't need to have the parent that I wish that I had. This is the parent that I had. I am who I am today. I'm not grateful that all that happened. I wouldn't have wished that on any little girl. But look where I am.
You love the person who you
are. I love the person who I am today. I love who I am. And so me thinking they did the best they can, me believing that they did the best they can, has helped me put it to bed, has helped me put it to rest. Has helped me feel good about it. Like, I don't know what their lives were like. Maybe it was as horrible as mine. Who knows? So it's so complex and it's so hard to understand. And I say all of this is to find your way in it. And I think the only thing that I can say about this mostly is try not to get caught in thinking that you can change other people and their behaviors. And the thing that helped me on this path the most of people think that they're doing the best they can. I can wish them well from afar because I can't have anything to do with them. I can't have them in my life. I can't even waste one moment's energy, breath, or time even thinking about them anymore because it does not matter. What they do and what they say, I can't have a part of that, but I also know that I can't change it. I can only be the change in the way that I am in this world or the way that I am in my own life. What helped me the most was my what I talk about her all the time, like I know her and like I sat down and had coffee with her every day. I love her to pieces, Maya Angelou. She has been one of the most powerful teachers in my life. And when I heard an interview and she said, when people show you who they are, believe them the first time, change my life. Mm. How many times have I been through when people show you who they are, believe them? A million. I didn't want to believe it. I didn't want to believe that that's who they are. So I put a lot of effort and energy and trust. And what always ended up happening for me when I did that is I ended up doubting myself. I ended up not loving myself. I ended up not trusting myself. I ended up falling prey to shame, to judgment, to wanting to fix myself, wanting to fix the world, wanting to fix them in such a way that was way over my head and no way possible that I could ever do all of those things. I ended up feeling like I wasn't okay, that I wasn't enough. I ended up feeling like I was the problem. The ultimate of doubting yourself and all of those things that I just said for me was I got to the place where I'm the problem. And her saying, Maya Angelou saying that when people show you who they are, believe them, has changed my life dramatically. And I believe for me, it falls right into this. I don't want to think about people being evil and cruel. Of course they probably are. I mean, I can't do any, I just don't need them in my life.
Right.
And that doesn't mean I'm trying to sweep it under the rug or I'm trying to take a blind eye. No, if I run across someone who's cruel and evil and doing racist, horrible things in the world, I'm just using that as an example because I grew up in the 60s with the race riots and the whole human race stuff that was so tragic and the women's rights and the human rights. Mm-hmm. I am vehemently passionate about that and work hard every single moment to do what I actually can do to make sure that all human beings have rights. But can I change someone else because I don't agree with what they're saying? No, I can be the change on the other side of the coin. So I'm just saying not to put your energy there. And what it has done as well is I don't take it personally anymore.
Mm-hmm.
I don't take someone's bad behavior toward me as personal. How they perceive the situation, how they perceive me, how they perceive life, whatever their behavior is, has nothing to do with me and everything to do with them and their perception. And so really believing that has changed me. It helps us put the energy back into where it needs to be and the focus and intention back on our own lives. What can we do in this moment? Knowing that we are lovable, that we are trustworthy, that we are honorable, that we are good enough human beings, and that we deserve all the good things that life has to offer, and not allowing other people to take that away from us. And when when we start to believe that, then we start to be able to feel our feelings, feel any pain and suffering that's coming along in life, and not add to it, not make the suffering worse than it needs to be, and trying to do things that we absolutely have no power to do. So I say all of this is the empowerment. This is what we're striving for as humans, to feel like we matter, to feel like we're empowered, to feel like we have a say in how we live our own lives, to feel like we can do the hard thing and accomplish what it is that we're trying to do in whatever way we possibly can without any attachment to the results though. See, life is such a complex thing.
Yeah.
All of this I'm saying is having zero attachment to what the results will be. I will work till the day I die in the cause of human rights,
mm-hmm.
in whatever form that is. I will work till the day I die. I feel so strongly about that.
Mm-hmm.
Do I have any assurance that it's going to end up the way that I want it to? No. Am I hopeful and will I always do the best work that I possibly can do? Yes.
Mm-hmm.
I just trust down the line, maybe generations to come, that my work and everyone else's work that's right along here with me will make a difference. But I can't be attached to what that result will be, because then I stop working. Then I get doubtful. Then I get depressed. Or then I get like, oh my gosh, what's the point? All these other loud voices that are opposed to what I'm thinking are ruining it, or whatever it is. Right. It doesn't make any sense to fall prey to what other people are thinking and doing. But it doesn't mean what they're thinking and doing is okay. It's such a complex thing.
But it has nothing to do with you, and you can't spend your time rationalizing it or trying to fix it or thinking about it or contemplating it. That's them and this is you.
No.
And I think that's the very thin line of keeping yourself with yourself and not worrying about other people.
Let's never forget the very, very famous quote from, I can't remember the hospice nurse's name now.
Bronnie Ware.
Bronnie Ware, thank you. Let's never forget her quote, being a hospice nurse and the research and everything that she did regarding hospice care, that the number one regret of the dying that she found in her research was, I didn't live the life that I wanted to live. I lived the life that other people thought I should live, in my interpretation also, I don't want to be on my deathbed saying, I let other people's opinions and other people's horrible behavior dictate how I was going to live my life, because I put too much energy and time into trying to fix them or trying to prove that they're wrong and I'm right. And so that idea that we have to be proven right is out the window. We don't have to be proven. I know, I feel in my heart of hearts, I am right about all the rights of human beings. But I don't have to prove that to anyone. I can just act from my own belief and trust myself. Mm-hmm. I don't have to tell anyone else or prove to anyone else that I'm right. There are enough people out there that think I'm wrong. I mean, we see that every day. What we think is drastically the right thing, there are just as many people now out there saying it's the wrong thing. So am I going to live my life trying to prove that I'm right? No, I'm going to put all my energy into doing what I believe in my heart of hearts as the right thing for me and humanity. So if you ever doubt yourself, remember that quote. Remember that research that Bronnie Ware did. It's powerful. I say so many things changed my life. That's another one. I don't want to be on.
We should do a whole episode of these quotes that changed your life.
It's because when we actually take in a quote from someone, she's a hospice nurse, done the research, all the things. And I'm fascinated with dying and death anyway. It's kind of been one of my things that I've really explored a lot in my life. Or Maya Angelou, every storm runs out of rain, changed my life. When people show you who they are, believe them, changed my life. It's just, you know when it touches your heart. So take a pause and take that in for your own life experience. That's why I believe these geniuses, these masters, these saints, these mystics, these teachers, they came here to teach us their own experiences. And so take them in and see, hey, how is this affecting me right now? And when I take in a Maya Angelou quote, it affects me deeply. I get goosebumps and I'm like, Maya, you're right. Yeah, I feel that in my own experience and I feel that in my body.
Wow. That was really good. And what I would love.
Thank you. Sorry to go on and on, but I really feel passionate about it. And so many things can be misinterpreted and misunderstood. So I hope that I said it in a way that it's not misunderstood. No one tolerates horrible behavior less than I do, but I've learned not to have it in my life. I've learned to just, I don't, it's kind of been my way of forgiveness actually. As I move through pain and suffering in my life, it's like, I don't even know if I would use the word forgiveness, but that's the word that's used a lot today. It's kind of been like, okay, I got the teaching, I got the experience, I got the lessons. It's taken me a lot of pain and suffering, but I'm now moving on. I don't have to convince you you're wrong. I don't have to convince myself that I'm right. I don't have to prove anything. I just have to be who I am. Remember who I am. I kind of lost myself for a while in those 33 years of marriage from time to time. And especially in the past couple of years of this divorce, remember who you are. And that is not easy. And I'm not saying any of this has been easy. My life has been anything but easy. But I think I'm like a lot of you listening, probably most of you listening. Our lives are not easy.
Yeah.
But it is well worth the effort and the journey to get to a place of remembering who you are, trusting who you are, loving who you are, recognizing when doubt creeps in, being your biggest advocate, not needing to fix other people and fix things in life, not needing to compare yourself with other people and compare other people to each other, and not needing to judge. I mean, we have judgments, but I like to look at judgments that are necessary as discernments. I don't really like to think of judgments as anything that's in a positive light as discernment. I'm going to discern what is right and wrong for me here. Judgments for me always show up as criticisms. And I'm not saying that that's showing up for like that for all of you listening, but that's kind of how I know I am. And isn't that the beauty of life? That we learn to know who we are and what words are good for us and what words make sense for us and what words don't. And we just learn to see. So if you're using the word judgment and it means discernment for you, yay, wonderful. But when I use judgment, I'm usually judging the other person, or I'm judging myself, or I'm judging. So I think if we can all get to a place of, you know, just really being okay with who we are, always learning, always growing, always becoming. I'm not saying we stay stagnant or that we like any behaviors that are not okay with ourselves and are not in alignment with who we are. We want to learn from those behaviors and grow. And I'm always honoring what your experience is. Not deferring to other people's experiences of you and what they think the experience is. What is your experience? What is your lived experience? And honoring it and understanding it and feeling the feelings that surround it. And not abandoning your experience of life.
Wow. You just laid out like 18 episodes that I want to dive into, but that was really, really good.
Oh, good. I'm glad. You can feel my passion.
Yes.
I love you all so much. And my greatest desire in life and gift in life really has been to share my own personal experiences in the hopes that it helps everyone listening become more in love with yourselves and become more trusting of yourselves and less doubtful and just being who you are.
Yeah. I love it. Thank you for sharing all of that and helping me in my own gullible journey. That was really, really, really great. So I appreciate that. And I hope if anyone else relates to these sentiments, it was helpful for you too. I would love next week, since you talked so much about letting go and attachment and loving people from afar. I know we've had a lot of requests for that. So I think that would be a great segue for next week. So something to think about, Barb.
Michelle, I love it. It's been a long journey for me.
Yeah.
I didn't realize how much...
How to know when to let go.
Well, I didn't realize how much I had issues with letting go until recently.
Yeah.
It's been a journey and it creeps
up. Ways.
I love it. I would love to have a conversation about that.
All right.
Thank you.
I love
you all so much. Love you all so much. Thank you for being here, Michelle. I love you. I adore you. And thank you always for being so vulnerable.
Thank you for sharing from your lived experience and your wisdom. And thank you everyone for listening. We do love you all. And we're so appreciative for your support and your presence and your kindness and being in our community. We don't take it for granted. And we're so grateful for each and every one of you who spends parts of your week with us each and every week. So thank you. If you haven't yet, make sure you're liked and subscribed to the podcast wherever you listen to podcasts, Apple, Google, and Spotify, so that you're always up to date and don't miss a thing. If you haven't yet as well, and you're loving the show, which of course we hope that you are, give us a 5-star rating on iTunes and Spotify and leave a review. It's super helpful. We appreciate it so much. And it really helps us and the show, and to know that we're giving the people what they want. If you have questions, comments, concerns, or want clarification on things that we talk about on the show or have podcast topic requests, make sure that you're connected with us on social media at Peaceful Barb, at Michelle Maros, at Barb Knows Best Pod. That's always the best way to stay in touch. Lastly, there's a link in the show notes to subscribe to our newsletter so that you can be the first to know of all things going on Barb Knows Best, Barb, Michelle, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. Thank you so much again for listening. We love you all. Thank you, Mom. I love you. And we will chat with you next week because, as we know, Barb knows best. Bye.
Driving plays a big part in driving the local economy. It helps us all get where we're going and creates good jobs close to home. At Cenovus Energy, our refineries in Toledo and Lima are a reliable domestic source of gasoline, diesel, and jet fuel. Plus, more than 2,300 employees and contractors work for us here in Ohio. See how we're helping local communities move forward at cenovus.com. Driving plays a big part in driving the local economy. It helps us all get where we're going and creates good jobs close to home. At Cenovus Energy, our refineries in Toledo and Lima are a reliable domestic source of gasoline, diesel, and jet fuel. Plus, more than 2,300 employees and contractors work for us here in Ohio. See how we're helping local communities move forward at cenovus.com.